You found All the Rage. If you've missed us, we've been gone a while, but we're back, and we're split in half, actually. This is All the Rage TV edition, which I guess is what, All the Rage TV now? And I think. That voice is a familiar voice to you. That's going to be Brandon Williams. He's all over this site.
That's right.
And he talks a lot.
Yeah.
See? And it's, I'm sorry, Brandon C. Williams. We're going to bring that back.
Yeah. C. That's the way, that's my signature. That's what I'm going with, Brandon C. Williams.
And the C stands for cookie cutter?
You'll never know.
You'll never know. This is, as I said, TV edition. We're going to do about a half hour of this, just chit-chatting about TV and all the geeky stuff that geeks get excited about. And everyone knows geeks have TVs in their mom's basement, and they spend a lot of time watching it because they're not out on dates, right? Am I stereotyping? Is that wrong?
I don't know. I mean, I'm in my mom's basement right now.
I set up my whole studio in my mom's basement. She doesn't even know I'm here.
Right. I call it the office.
That's right. And when this podcast's over, my mom's going to bring me milk and cookies.
I just told Mom, get me some pizza rolls.
Oh, that's good times.
I get pizza rolls that are on top of bagel bites, that are on top of those little mini pizzas, that are on top of Tony's pizzas, that I put on top of regular pizza.
So here's my question.
I call it pizzaception.
Can you get up the stairs of your mom's basement anymore, or are you just too fat?
Why would I need to?
Just parking it. Take the stairs out, put in a dumbwaiter, and have your mom lower the food to you.
Yeah, exactly. I think I might just put my mouth next to it and just – it'll be like a raptor cage. And just lower the food, and I'm like
– This is the second – are we the second week of January? Is that our podcast, this one? Or third?
Second. This is the second week.
All right. So the way this is working is you will see us here on this podcast once a month, second week of every month. Basically, 8 Days a Geek used to do this big podcast that covered all kinds of things, and people would get excited for part and fall asleep in another part and then try and tune in later for another part. So we basically broke it all up, and now there's podcasts all the time, all over the place.
And we broke mostly it to multiple...
Multiple
personalities.
Podcasts. Most of them are going to be once a month. I think the Tech Cast is going weekly still, or so. We're not on that one, so we don't know anymore.
Yeah.
But
the Tech Podcast is still weekly. And but, see, All the Rage with me and you will be the second week, and then
we have another All the Rage
you
movies.
You and I will return with Jesse for the third week.
Which is movies.
Which is All the Rage movies. And then you and I will return the fourth week with Timothy Blacksmith for Off the Rack, the comic podcast.
Which is transforming from his column into a podcast to talk comics.
And the first week, of course, is yours truly and Jesse, and we talk about video games.
So it's all kinds of good entertainment. We're going to try and keep them a little tighter so they're not running an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, I know the old All the Rage used to run an hour and a half plus, and I believe your 8 Days Geek podcast ran more than an hour most times.
That's right. We're trying to make it so then you can listen to this on your way to work or home or to the basement.
So it's like a brand exciting new day at All the Rage and at 8 Days Geek, and we're all kinds of excited about it to be a part of it. And so we figured, why not do it at the beginning of the year, get started, and in the world of TV, that's a perfect time to talk about things, because we just finished up 2011, and we can talk about that, and there's all kinds of new things starting up for 2012, and we can talk about that, and let's talk about stuff.
All right, where do we start?
Let's start with Green Arrow, because that just got announced.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And there was talk of Green Arrow maybe a year or two ago. As a spin-off of Smallville, they're like, well, when Smallville ends, we could continue with Green Arrow. And then it was like, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. And even now, it seems like we're not going to do that. It's still the case, even though it is the CW, but it doesn't look like it's being designed as a spin-off of Smallville. I guess they're thinking maybe if we wait a year or two, people will forget that there was a Green Arrow on that show for many years.
And I don't know if they're doing a young Green Arrow like the show, or if they're doing an older Green Arrow. I mean, they haven't said anything. If they're doing Supermax Green Arrow, where he's in a prison, I mean, we don't know.
But like we talked about before...
It's CW, so I would like to assume it's a young Green Arrow.
I think it's going
to
be Green Arrow, and there's going to be vampires and witches, and he's going to take a shirt off a lot, and there'll be pretty girls fawning over how sexy he is.
Sounds like CW. But Deadman was announced for CW, and I guess they're just not doing that now? Which is probably a good idea.
Well, I mean, I guess Green Arrow has some name recognition still with their audience.
Yeah.
The question is going to be, though, because when Green Arrow
I never thought I'd live in a place that Green Arrow had name recognition.
But he only does because they couldn't get Batman. And that's one of the things
Batman.
He was Batman for them. And he was Bruce Wayne and Batman and all of that. And granted, you know, Ollie in the comics has always been kind of Batman-esque.
Yeah.
The stories are pretty similar. Their worlds are more similar. But it's like, what direction are they going to go? Is it going to be their Batman TV series, only it's going to be Green Arrow, kind of the same way? Or, I don't know. I mean, it just got announced. I do know that they said that, like, the two people who were behind, I don't have their names in front of me, but they were behind the Green Lantern movie are the two people spearheading this. And I know...
I mean, we all know how well that did.
I was just going to say, I haven't seen it, but I know you saw the movie, and you're a huge Green Lantern fan.
You
have Green Lantern logos tattooed on your body. If not, you will. Your truck is Green Lantern. So you have all the toys, and you're looking for all of them. You're a freak about it. Which means you almost would like it even if it's a pile of shit.
And it was still pretty bad.
So how bad was it really?
Yeah.
If you didn't like it.
It's not, you know, Dolph Lundgren Punisher bad.
David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury.
It's not Batman and Robin bad, but I will put it around the same area as the Fantastic Four movies.
So it'll get a sequel that'll be worse, right?
Well,
they're talking sequel, aren't they?
Actually, with what they're set up, they set up the movie. The problem with the movie was this: Hal Jordan was fine. That character was fine. The looks of it were fine. The characters were fine. Everything was fine. But they waited, just like superhero movies always do in the first one. They waited forever for there to be a big fight, and the big fight was over before you knew it. But they've already said that, you know, Parallax didn't actually die. Parallax, you know, now is going to be able to possess people. So they're going to come up in the second movie and have the idea of Parallax. We saw Sinestro take the yellow ring. We set up the idea that there, you know, he knows now and he knows how to use the ring. He's strong. So if there is a sequel, it won't be bad. It would actually be interesting because what it's going to do is play up the aspect of Sinestro and Parallax being possessed. The problem with the movie was the villain was a giant cloud and a big-headed dude, and he was annoying. The villain was the
annoying part of the movie. All right. They won't be able to do that in a TV show because they won't have the budget.
No. So that's why Green Arrow makes sense, because he's just going to use a bow and arrow and shoot.
But I did find the names tied to it, and the executive producer writers are Greg Berlanti, who's most recently did Brothers and Sisters. So that's a lot of family drama crap. Mark Guggenheim, who's actually done some work in comics, and he did Flash Forward, which was more of a high concept mystery thing. They're working with Andrew Kreisberg, which is a guy who has been involved with Vampire Diaries and Fringe and did work on the Green Arrow comic. So it's an okay pedigree. I can see them being able to put something together that's engaging. It's just a matter of, you know, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they're doing it because of Green Arrow and Smallville. Otherwise, like you said, who the hell would say Green Arrow is the guy for a TV show, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like with what their popularity is right now, I'm surprised iVampire didn't become something. Or
I say give it another year in this new 52 launch that we'll talk about at the end of the month all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be some shows coming out of that, I'm almost positive.
Definitely.
But speaking of shows, we'll jump into talking about some of the mid-season shows. Actually, you want to talk about last year first before we talk about this year? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because last year was actually a pretty good year for geek TV. I'm going to go ahead and start off with, for me, the biggest surprise of the year was Thundercats.
Oh, man, it was so good.
Because
it was ridiculous.
I loved Thundercats growing up, but it's one of those shows where you loved it growing up, but don't ever go watch it again.
Yeah, it's corny.
Because it's like really corny and cheesy.
Transformers
yeah.
was the same way for me. It's like, Transformers was so good, and you watch it, or He-Man is the same way. You watch it, and you're like, wow,
oh, yeah.
this is
oh,
bad.
Oh, really bad. And so I was worried when they announced it, and even though they were going to be like, it's going to be modernized, it's going to be updated, but it was, and it's still mostly episodic, but just the way they've got this small band of cats exploring their world, and Mumra is not showing up and getting defeated every single episode.
Yeah, it's a little different every time. Sometimes there's not even a villain, it's just them trying to get through things. And that's
they've had some, I mean, the elephant characters have showed up twice now. Those characters are great. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
It's they've had some really interesting,
I love
know,
the leaf people.
Yeah.
The plant people was a great like little addition. The bad guys all have type of a background that makes more sense now. Like, I mean, they did have a background, and you can argue that they did, but in the old one, it was like, all right, this guy is going to be a bad guy, and this is a bad guy, and this is a bad guy. But that's all we really knew is they were bad guys.
Right. And yeah, and
we
have
reasons why they're bad, and it just
and the reason they were bad in the old one was because that's what the toy manufacturer told you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you didn't need a story because these are the bad toys, these are the good toys, and they fight.
So
and that's what happens every week.
Really interesting. It reminds me of one of the most epic cartoons ever made. Doesn't get the respect it deserves, but I mean, the cartoon still holds up, and that's Gargoyles. Just this small band and the way they do it is fantastic. I mean, it's definitely Gargoyles level good. So if you were a fan of Gargoyles, you'll love Thundercats.
And then even along that same vein, putting this small group kind of on the fringes of the bigger universe, I was really impressed with the way Young Justice has been put together because it is the entire DC universe, but you just don't see it.
Yeah, whoever thought that you would be rooting for Aqualad?
Yeah, he's like
That's
the team leader.
Character.
And you get to see the Batmans and Supermans, and they have different adults that show up, and they even get to get involved in Justice League Adventures a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love that the focus stays on these kids, and you just kind of get a hint of this larger world that's happening out there.
They do actual kid stuff. I mean, like, the whole relationship between Artemis and Kid Flash, where they do like each other, but Kid Flash is always, like, all... He's all Meg, you know, he wants Megan, but
right.
Megan and Superboy. I mean, and Superboy is kind of, he has father issues. And I mean, it just the whole thing, it's really interesting. And again,
they're bothering to have, and that's just it. They're bothering to have some ongoing character continuity. They're bothering to develop the characters as people as opposed to just brightly colored costumes.
Yeah.
They're putting more effort into the world that they're building than a lot of these cartoons. I know you've watched cartoons for years, and I have this tendency when these superhero cartoons come on is I watch a few episodes and then I get bored because it's like, this is just going nowhere. I've had this problem with almost every Spider-Man cartoon. Most of the Marvel cartoons have done that to me.
X-Men, the first Spider-Man wasn't that bad, and X-Men was good.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of disappointment. And
Spider-Man and after that was pretty bad.
So then when Young Justice started, I'm like, oh, dear God, it's Young Justice, so I'm thinking it's going to be even worse because it's the kids.
Yeah.
And so I watched it, and same with Thundercats. I'm not expecting much, and I was just pretty blown away.
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch that many cartoons. I think right now I'm watching Star Wars, Thundercats, Young Justice, and I think I watch Avengers still.
I'm trying to get him into Ben 10, but he's just not doing it.
Well, my problem is, same reason I so many other shows I don't watch, is I have this problem that I want to see them all, and I don't want to jump into the middle of something. I have a hard time doing that. I don't know why, especially because I read comics. It's not like I said, oh, I'm going to read some Batman comics. I better go find Detective Comics number 27 and start from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do that. So I don't know what it is about TV, but I guess it's because it seems reasonable, sort of, but it's like, oh, you should watch Sopranos. It's like, I think there were 3 seasons left. Someone told me that. I was like, I'm going to have to watch about 100 episodes before I catch up. So I'm not going to do it. So I just didn't do it. And Ben 10, how many seasons have there been?
I don't even know.
It's ridiculous.
But Ben 10 also does something where they cut off the story so then anyone can pick back up every 3 or 4 seasons.
I've been trying to get you to watch live-action sci-fi stuff because you have your weird, it's in space, I hate it. Oh,
yeah,
in space.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What are you talking about?
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
So I finally convinced you to watch.
I love Doctor Who. I respect
Star
Trek for what it is.
I finally get you to watch Doctor Who, and you love it.
Yeah.
And you know that actually is going to be
Doctor Who is this, and I'm gonna really hate. A lot of people are gonna hate me. I loved Christopher Eccleston because I love the action hero Doctor, and maybe that's just the American in me. I did not like David Tennant. It never appealed to me.
I like how you put that pause there for people to gasp and not miss what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah,
next.
People were like, "What? Yeah." But I didn't like him falling in love with the companions and stuff. I always thought that the Doctor was above that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was really awkward. And actually, when Matt Smith came on board, I got worried immediately with the Amy Pond thing. I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. And then he didn't, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, they made her like him, but he doesn't really feel anything for her.
Right.
And the Christmas special was really good, though.
So, but like Stargate Universe, I couldn't get you to watch that, and that was really heavy space stuff.
Stargate is too dense. I'd have to start at the beginning from Stargate, and
Universe was a good start. but you know, there was. You and I have had some arguments, and I wish the podcast had been around when The Walking Dead was going on this season, because I know we've had some arguments about how it went. But overall, I think they had a good second part of their season. It's not over yet, obviously. And I know you loved it, didn't you?
Walking Dead, yeah.
My big issue with it was that it seemed like they had a great start and they had a great end, and five or six episodes in the middle there could have been three.
Well, yeah, and I don't know why, but for some reason that I didn't get that. Like, I had a lot of friends who got that exact same thing. They're like, why was this stretched out so much? They did nothing. For some reason, I don't know if it's because I can see what they're – each character grew a little every episode. I could see that they were doing that. Maybe it's because I was really focused on the characters. But I loved season one. I really loved season two. That mid-season finale was freaking insanely good. Like, I mean, gasping.
But see, I actually had the same problem with Falling Skies, and I know it's another show you really liked.
Yeah, well,
Falling Skies was
a bit slow in the middle there. It had a couple dead spots, especially, like, they were very scientific with the process. They didn't go, hey, we caught one, and then the next episode go, we know all about him. I mean, they really did go, yeah, we learned what we could from him, but he's dead and this, so we need to, you know, get another one, and we need to do this. And, I mean, they actually kind of went out with it and kind of did all that, but the problem is the real scientific process is boring, so no one wants to see that. So, yeah, I did have an issue with that, but, yeah.
We're not going to have time to go through all these shows we talked about.
No, I mean, we'll say a couple of them that, I mean, I know you love Fringe. I know you love John Noble.
He's amazing. I'll say Fringe has had an off season and they're in trouble. That's actually a different topic we had.
Yeah, that's why we'll talk about that one a little later.
But we're already probably halfway through this thing, and so you guys are gonna have to bear with us as we learn how to talk faster and more efficiently, because we're not used to doing this in a half hour. Right. But we're really gonna try.
I'm gonna rapid fire some shows. I'm gonna say the name. You're gonna give me a little blip. Grimm. I didn't like it. I thought it was boring as hell.
You know what Grimm's problem is? It's procedural, so it doesn't work.
Yeah. Misfits, probably the best superhero change-up I've ever seen, especially season one was ridiculous. Season two isn't as good, but it's still good.
The new season has been a little odd because they made some strong changes, but I'm kind of holding in there with it. I think that's available on Hulu in America. Yeah.
Yeah. One that you don't watch, but is incredibly just, I mean, if you like Breaking Bad, if you like Walking Dead, if you like those very dramatic shows, Dexter. Oh my God, it chills good sometimes. It's just
Breaking Bad we'll probably talk about on this podcast, even though it's a geek-centric podcast, yeah, just because the show's so good.
It's talking chemistry. He's there a science teacher.
He's a nerd.
Alphas.
Alphas, Eureka, Haven, Warehouse 13, Being Human. That is the sci-fi block.
Yeah.
And the problem.
I love Being Human. My wife loves that show. Being Human is so fun. Warehouse 13. I don't know what it is about that show, but it's like sometimes I feel like I just skip entire episodes and I don't catch anything.
Well, you don't miss anything if you skip an episode.
Haven and Eureka
sure.
is the same way.
Haven, you might miss little hints because they're slowly revealing things.
Oh yeah, and there's a
Warehouse
lot.
Warehouse 13, you absolutely could miss half of it and miss nothing.
Yeah,
but it's fun. Warehouse 13 you watch for the fun of it, and that's what Eureka is. Yeah. It's fun, and they're all just kind of empty fluffy. And
I
that's where
Alphas.
I think people got confused by Alphas, because it wasn't that at all. It was very serious.
Oh,
and Alphas, serious. Do you know Alphas' first good episode was its last episode, and they got renewed. And it's like, oh my God, you finally figured out how to be a decent show, but it's a little bit too late.
We'll talk about shows that you yell at me all the time for not watching. Supernatural.
You need to watch the first five seasons and then maybe stop.
This is the thing about Supernatural. All I used to see is the 10 minutes that was recorded at the end of Smallville, and I freaking loved it. So why would you not watch it? Yeah, I know. It's like I would watch the last time on Supernatural, and it was.
And you're
and
like,
I know,
it looks awesome.
I know everything going on.
You're an idiot.
We'll also go American Horror Story. I couldn't get into it, but I have this really, really weird hatred for Dylan McDermott. He is poison to TV for me.
Oh, see, the thing is, if you really hate Dylan McDermott, you will love American Horror Story. Watch it. Because they torture that man throughout the entire season. And then the new season is going to be a whole new show because it's rebooting.
Yeah, hearing him talk just annoys me. Terra Nova.
Terra Nova was a show that was so boring.
Yeah, I really like I like everything about it, but none of it worked.
Turn over for me, whole season was Death Valley was a show I tried to get you to watch because it's just comedy, zombies, vampires, and werewolves, and it's gory and it's fast paced and it's just silly, goofy shit.
Yeah,
and it's
I had
funny.
A friend who said, "Oh man, I know you like Reno 911. Now it's Reno 911, but there's alien or there's monsters." And I was like, "I don't know why. For some reason, when I see MTV, I just can't watch something on VH1 or MTV." And RJ Berger was like really good. And
but see,
there
the
were
thing
shows
is,
that have been really good
compared to RJ Berger was okay compared to the new show Awkward, which is one of the best teen shows ever on television, and that's on MTV. So I've had to rethink how MTV is doing scripted comedies because suddenly they're getting it right. They brought Beavis and Butthead back, which, by the way, is one of the highlights of last year, which is not on this list. And oh my God, have they had some of the funniest episodes ever! And I loved the old Beavis and Butthead.
I died. I don't laugh a lot during TV, but oh my God, I laugh. I laugh so much during that.
I think
stuff.
It's because you're laughing with them because they're always laughing.
Yeah, they make you want to laugh. It's like, you ever been around people that laugh all the time? You can't help but laugh with them.
Talk sci-fi, we miss Sanctuary, and I think that's because when most people talk about all the sci-fi shows, they forget about Sanctuary.
Yeah.
It's just one of those shows. It's not bad, but it's just kind of there.
Once Upon a Time, hated it. Hated
it! But how far did you go?
Huh?
How far did you go?
Two full episodes, and then half of the next one, and then half of that one, and then I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, I still like it. I don't know.
I like a few characters, but I don't know. The main girl looks really pissed all the time, and I'm like, and when she's smiling, it looks, I don't know. She's ugly.
I also don't buy that she's 20s, but that's because the actress is like mid to late 30s now.
Yeah.
It's like, she's not 29. I'm not going to ever believe it.
All right, Game of Thrones, they did the Spartacus genius move that Spartacus did. Imagine a story that's really good, really intricate. Critics love it because the story is actually so good. And you're going to get all those people that actually want to see a good story watching this. How do you get all the dumb people who just want to watch 2.5 Men? Tits. Lots of tits. Tits in every episode. Banging and the hang dong. I mean, whatever.
You also got to give them credit for the lost strategy of doing fantasy or science fiction, which is to ease the audience into it, make them love the characters and the story first, and then say, oh, by the way, dragons. Way, crazy monsters in the snow. And next season, and from this point on, it's going to get more and more of that. But for almost the whole first season, it was political shit and wars and fighting and snow. You know, winter's coming.
Yeah, winter is coming.
So and that was
like,
brilliant.
Boobs, boobs, boobs. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's a dragon on those boobs. You're like, whoa,
and
dragon
the,
boobs.
The Emmy Awards and accolades have kept coming.
And, of course, we talked about Doctor Who and how much I love that.
And now rumor has it, because shifting gears to a little bit of they're saying that Amy and Rory are out after this season.
Which is sad, because Rory Williams on there is probably one of the best companions to ever be on Doctor Who.
But they've had a good run, and I think that's okay if they get another full season.
Their story's complete. I would think that it would just be messing with their life at this point.
What's interesting, though, is that the woman that they're talking about to come on and replace them, and of course I lost that page.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Is Sophia Miles, and it's just got rumored today, the day we're recording, that possibly she may be the new companion, but she has some interesting Who connections. One, that she was in The Girl in the Fireplace, which is one of the early Tennant episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that she dated David Tennant. For 2 years back during his Doctor Who days. So she pretty connected to the world already. It wouldn't be the same character because in The Girl in the Fireplace, she was like some 18th century duchess or something.
It's Sophia Miles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Underworld.
Yeah, she's done a lot of things. She's actually...
She was like the queen of the vampires in Underworld. I mean, you see her all over the place. She's very striking looking. She's like a really pretty blonde. So... Yep.
I mean,
it'll be interesting to see.
It's rumor at this point. There's no guarantee it means anything, but that's the latest rumor. And by golly, we're going to give you the latest news a month later.
You know what I want to see? I want to see two male companions with him, like two buddies. Like, you know, Craig?
Yeah.
What a great – I mean, you can't take him away from his baby and his wife, but, you know, guys like that.
Something just, yeah, just have an absolute blast.
Like, imagine if Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were companions. You know, that would just be so fun.
If they ever get a female doctor, maybe they'll do that.
Yeah.
They still talk about that sometimes.
Man, why wouldn't they?
All right, shifting gears from the past.
Yeah.
We're going to move forward to the future.
The future.
And we're going to talk, like, you want to talk about Star Wars Underworld? That's the far future. Or yeah. You want to talk about what's going on right now? You know what? We're going to talk about the future maybe next month, because we also have to talk about the shows we should give in memoriam to. But before we do that, we should talk about Star Wars Underworld a little bit, because the Star Wars live-action show that's been talked about since before Clone Wars even was thought about as a series. So that's how old this premise is. Finally got a name. I don't know why all of a sudden they think that. I guess Star Wars fans get excited about everything.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to give a name to this show that may never happen. Because he's still got his scripts. He's got a pile of scripts, supposedly like 50 of them. And they've done all the math.
The name doesn't make sense with the premise.
No, and I'll tell you the premise in a second. But the math that they've done is as soon as technology gets to the point where they can film these for $5 million or less per episode, then they can put it on the air. They don't have a network or anything, so they don't know where they're going to distribute it. I'm sure someone would be willing to put it on.
It'd be stupid not to.
And it is going to be set between 3 and 4. Episodes 3 and 4, so it's going to be during the years
of the Rise of the Empire.
Yeah, the gap that we've really never looked into, which is when Luke, from baby to Luke whining that, you know, he was going to go to Tashi Station and get some power converters or something, whatever it was.
No.
So that's the block, and so Underworld, because I guess it's going to be the beginnings of the rebels under it should be underground, really, because it's kind of more of an underground movement beneath the Empire, which is expanding.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Fringe, we said we were going to talk about, because Fringe fans, first of all, genre fans, I never understand when genre fans get all up in arms and get all mad when shows get canceled, because have you never watched a genre show on TV? This is what happens. We are lucky to get a full season of a show, much less the whole story. We never get the whole story.
Yeah, we always have to go, oh, yeah, pick up the rest of it. It's now a novel or comic book form.
Yeah, and hope, like, ooh, Jericho, pick it up as a comic. We're so excited. Or Buffy continuing. Even Buffy, which went years and years.
Firefly.
Years. Yeah, all of it. Dollhouse, anything. Anything that he does.
Yeah, if Joss Whedon did it, yeah.
But now Fringe is in its fourth
season.
That's
why it's clever he's doing the Avengers, which started in a comic, so they can't do it to him.
Yeah, what are they? He'll just go back
to the comics. They'll show them one way or the other.
But at the TCAs, the Television Critics Association big gathering, the Fox execs were talking about how they say they're actually losing money on Fringe. So that makes people worried that, I mean, first of all, they moved it to Fridays and the ratings have been terrible. It's like, well, it's on Fridays. What do you expect? Not that the ratings were great on Thursdays, but they were better. They were like twice what they are now. And so they're like, well, it's losing money. We're not in the business of losing money. And it's like, well, really? Because you did put Alan Gregory on the air. It seems like every season you put on some really bad shows. I think you are in the business of losing money.
Yeah, you let Whitney or Chelsea Handler or whoever write shows, and they're horrible.
So anyways.
Yeah, I know. I was just taking a shot.
You had the wrong networks, but I'll let it go. Well, TV in general, but yeah, you're right. The philosophy of TV in general, they just put on crap, and they do it all the time. And Fringe is not crap, and that's the problem, but it is genre, which is also the problem, because that's too much of a smaller segment of society. And Fringe
now, X-Files,
is very dense.
X-Files had a nice bleeding leg for a while there, but it healed up and started to do really, really well, and by the end of it was considered,
it was one of their top shows. But the other thing is that the X-Files was also largely episodic with occasional arc episodes. Fringe is one of the most confusing television shows, even if you've seen every episode.
Yeah, alternate reality.
It's so dense. And every season is something completely different. And like, compared to Supernatural, which it's on against, I believe, Supernatural, it does a lot of done-in-one episodes, and they have their big arcs. And if you have watched Supernatural, they've had huge stories, but you can pretty much step into any episode, and you're going to see things that make sense. Fringe is not always that way, and that's the problem. But Fringe being in its fourth season means Fringe is closing in on syndication numbers, which means that they may think about renewing it and keeping it going to get a number to get a nice syndication package with some cable channel like Sci-Fi that'll run the hell out of it. So that's what that is. But rather than look into 2012, I think we can do that in February, because it'll just be getting started, and maybe we'll have some first opinions on some of these shows, because I think we should take a little bit of time to say goodbye to some of the shows that went away. And I looking at your list, and I forgot Human Target. Was that this year?
Oh, yeah. when I was making this list, I was like, that was this year? I said it to like five things. I go, no way. That wasn't this year. That wasn't this year. So, yeah.
I know when I was writing up my list of the best and I found Stargate Universe had ended earlier this year, I was like, wow, that was this year? It's like TV moves so fast. And because TV happens from the half year to the half year and we do these things in the middle, it's hard to remember all the way back to last January.
Not all of these were canceled either. Some of them just ended. Like, why does Kids know?
Like the Cape.
Sketch comedy.
The
you
Cape
didn't watch
wasn't
Why Does
canceled,
Kids
right?
Know?
No, I never did.
Oh,
I remember
it was,
the ads in the comic books.
It's so funny. It's worth watching. But it's over now. They finished their thing, and they're off doing whatever. Oh, yeah, The Cape, which is, you know, one of those shows that goes, oh, look, a superhero show. Classic, corny superhero.
And what was that last year? Because you got No Ordinary Family on there, and that was another one that was like that.
Yeah, and it no one wanted to see it.
You know what, though? No Ordinary Family, I swear to you, is Terra Nova. Exact same type of show.
Just
equally boring, going nowhere. Occasional hints of a story that matters. You know what they don't realize? Genre fans like to be challenged intellectually. Like shows that have some deep things going on.
Human Target started, it was kind of smart, and then it slowly became going to help this week? And then
they tried to get a bigger audience. And that's the thing is they're trying to get bigger audiences with genre shows. Like,
but at the same time.
You can't do Fringe and get a big audience.
Horrible.
It's never going to happen. Well, the event was not good. You're right.
It tried too hard.
But
so
there is Flash Forward. I mean, those are shows that are like, hey, Lost was really popular, but they tried to say, we're going to be like Lost, but they were season 3 Lost and not season 1 Lost. It's like we talked about earlier with Game of Thrones. You got to lure them in with the stuff that they do like before you go crazy on them and blow their minds. Camelot,
if the event had more boobs in it, it would probably done better.
Camelot was a show, I think, that never lived up to its potential. Had
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't like it. I thought
premise, but it's like...
Yeah. Merlin was better, so...
That Merlin is better. I think it just came back here in the States for the fourth season.
Yeah.
And now, finally, King Arthur is stepping up to be king, which has taken forever. So, yeah, Merlin Merlin has the same problem, though, I say problem in the sense that I like stories that are dense and going somewhere, and Merlin takes a lot of breaks along the way for fun little episodes, which isn't a problem, I guess, because people like that, and it makes the show more accessible.
There's two little shows, Xena and Hercules, and that was what they love to do. They have a big story, but we're going to stop every once in a while, have some fun.
Which is what Buffy and all the more successful shows have done along the way.
Legend of the Seeker didn't do very well, but that was last year, but anyway.
Right.
What else left? Stargate Universe left, of course, but it finished its story. Batman Brave and the Bold is only leaving because they're doing
Batman series. Batman the Brave and the Bold was one of the most unique and enjoyable cartoons ever on television. Yeah. Just absolute blast, and they used Batmite to great use. They had a lot of fun with their format.
Oh, yeah, that final episode, which was Batmite doing everything you hate about
trying to get it canceled, yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to get it canceled. That was his point. Let's give he's like, "Oh, I know what Batman fans hate. How about we give Batman a brightly colored costume and ridiculous accessories that make no sense?" And it's like hyper hot pink bobsledding Batman.
And bought Batman toys in the 90s knows that that's what was on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. And
all
you're
of
like,
that
"Oh,
crap."
Like, and then they're like, and then what's his name from Married with Children? Oh, he was considered jumping the shark.
Oh, Ted McGinley.
Ted McGinley. They're like, Ted McGinley's going to be the voice of Aquaman for this episode.
And then McGinley, of course, agrees to do it.
Yeah, because he knows.
That's the thing, is people had fun with it, and the whole show was a lot of fun. And if you were an enthusiast of the DC Universe and you knew a lot about it, my God, it was all represented.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of boring, probably the most boring. Like, I caught Battlestar Galactica late.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been telling Brandon Battlestar Galactica is one of the best sci-fi shows of all time, and then he goes, "Well, I'll watch Caprica from the beginning because
oh my God,
Jay keeps talking about Battlestar Galactica, how great it is. This must be fantastic."
Yeah,
the two shows couldn't be more different.
Yeah,
and
it was the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
Some pretty boring stuff.
It was so slow. It just never went anywhere. It was like the ideas they're playing with, and I'm watching them going, yeah, that's cool. Hey, that's cool. I could have read that in a pamphlet about Battlestar Galactica prequel pamphlet, 3 pages, and I would have been content. I didn't need a full season of that.
Watch that show again. If anybody actually likes that show, watch it again and realize how long people stand around in silence.
Realize that you just watched 20 episodes and think about how much really happened.
Yeah.
And then go watch 20 episodes of Battlestar Galactica and think about how much happened.
Yeah. Ironically, Bored to Death, that's also, I mean, I don't know.
Bored to Death, I did not intend to watch. And then I got a DVD of the first season to review, and I was like, well, I'll watch a few episodes to have some idea what this is. And then I watched it, and I ended up watching all of it. Watched season two, watched season three. I don't like the lead, the actor.
No, well, you're not a hipster.
I know you like him. I don't like him.
I don't like him. Who said that?
I thought you said that at one point, that you do like him as an actor. But I love Ted Danson.
He's not bad. He's just super hipster. He does Wes Anderson movies. I mean, that's who he is.
The show was ridiculous, but they did a great job of wrapping it up. So when the third season ended, and it was all this closure, and I'm just like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. You know, there's certain shows that get a nice little short run, and they wrap, and you're like, they could bring it back. It's like, no, don't.
And then there's shows like V.
And you know what? V, oh my God. I love the original V. I had such hopes for the new V, and I have to just continue to go back and love the original V. For all of its 80s campiness of an A-team adventure action show, V was still a great idea, and the original was still great, and the new one fell under the just way too boring, way too not going anywhere,
yeah,
and trying way too hard to be like, hey, we're V. We're like the old V. Look, we do these little nods to the old show, and look at these characters, and remember this part, remember that part. And it's like, no, do your own thing and be good at it. And they never did. But what is it with networks and genre shows? They just can't get it right.
I don't know. Here's a show that I would say got it right for years. If it didn't get it right, I don't know how it lasted so long. But this is probably the biggest geek goodbye of 2011, I would say. I don't think any other show lasted this long and was this made this big of an impact. But that would be Smallville.
Never last as long as Smallville did.
Yes.
And the thing about Smallville,
I watched Smallville from the beginning. I love that show. I hate Superman. I don't like Superman. I do not like him. But man, that show was fun. It was just so fun.
And that's the right word for it. Fun. And no one's going to sit here and say that for 10 seasons Smallville was a great show. Because it wasn't. It had off seasons. It had really bad episodes along the way. But it had some good episodes. It had some great characters. It had some really neat ideas. It took a little bit way too long to get there. But when it did get there, you were satisfied.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, you know what? That had a good run.
Most of the time, you were satisfied. Sometimes it was like, I will say this last season, the whole Darkseid thing was one of the most disappointing things ever.
You know what? When I had to write about this last season, because I just did a review of the DVD set, Darkseid was almost an afterthought, as if they could have just skipped it completely, I would have been happy.
Yeah,
it was a
waste
of half the season. This is the final season of the show. And they should have saved. I wish they would have done Darkseid season 9 and General Zod season 10. Because I think that would have worked a lot better.
Yeah.
Because I think Zod brought out a lot of Clark's anxieties about Krypton and his heritage and what he should be doing and
Zod
his destiny.
That Callum Blue guy, who I believe was also
amazing.
He was on the Hooters. I mean, that guy's good. That guy has got this real swarmy kind of just – he's better than you, and he actually is, and he just pisses you off
because
he is.
I think it's because they kind of anticipated season 9 was probably going to be their last season, so I think they were headed there, and then they got this extra season.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Supernatural is kind of floundering a little bit now, season 7, because they were going to be done at season 5.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump ahead. People's Choice Awards. It's really kind of just awkward stuff. Vampire Diaries cleaned up. It was all stuff that you expected. Nothing was really out of the ordinary.
You know what I think is really funny, though, when I think about it? People's Choice Awards, and we are over a little time, but it skews young, obviously, because Vampire Diaries, for all the big success it is, it gets like 3-4 million viewers. That's nothing compared to all these other hit shows. So the fact that, like, Nina Dobrev wins over all these other people, and the show wins over all these shows that have much more viewers, tells you the people voting are teenagers and people in their 20s and tech-savvy people.
Yeah,
so might as well be the Young People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, I think Movie of the Year was Green Lantern. So, I mean, there you go. That's perfect proof that it's young people. What else we got? Marvel Animation Block. We saw the commercial for it at the end, at the final few episodes of Young Justice and of Batman Brave and the Bold, and it's where we get to see all these little, they're doing all these shorts, they're doing Ultimate Spider-Man, Or not, I'm sorry, I meant Avengers, not that stuff. I don't know why I said DC stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But they are doing Ultimate Spider-Man. You're right about that.
Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man, we saw all these little clips of shorts that they're going to do. I mean, there's a lot going on. They're going to really kind of break out Marvel.
But it looks like it's going to be, an hour? Or is it going to be an hour and a half? Maybe 2 half-hour shows and some extra crap to fill the space?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
nothing I saw gave a
time movies right now, obviously.
Right, and then Disney, of course, owns Marvel, so why wouldn't Disney XD give Marvel their own block?
Yeah, and I think this is the time, if they can dominate children's cartoons, you know, and then slowly get themselves a foothold in adult TV, then they can just, you know, just take entertainment by the throat, and DC's kind of killing them in comics right now, so they really need whatever help they can get.
But like I said, I really think in about a year we're going to see DC take this new 52 over to TV, because you know Warner Brothers has been getting frustrated that they have this whole universe sitting there and that they're not doing anything because their movies don't come together, nothing comes together for them.
I guess we'll talk about mid-season premieres next episode, because that'll be – let's end it with future president. Just kind of a fun little thing here at the end.
You know what? He just did this recently, and it was pretty funny. I don't know if you're still watching him or if you're caught up.
I watch him here and there.
He had his big announcement, which he was making fun of other presidential candidates' announcements, which was the announcement was that he's going to form an exploratory committee to consider the possibility of maybe running for president in South Carolina. That was the big announcement. Obviously, he is going to run for president, because everything he's doing is making fun of how ridiculous this campaign season has been. He made a super PAC just to show how stupid they are.
Yeah.
He then, to show how easy it is to have a super PAC influence his campaign, he signed over the rights and the leadership of his super PAC to Jon Stewart.
Who, now, as far as the character of Colbert goes, is his big enemy.
Right. But as far as, you know, the funny thing about it is, these are all things he's really doing. He really has a super PAC that's making money. He's already used it to film ridiculous commercials for or against different candidates. Now he's going to be able to use the money in his super PAC to film commercials for himself, except he won't be doing it. Jon Stewart will be doing it, and they won't be collaborating. And they're just showing how corrupt and stupid the whole system is, and that's what makes it brilliant. I swear to God, Stephen Colbert has probably had his best year ever this past year. And Daily Show's been right behind. It has been some of the most brilliant satire on television. I don't watch a lot of late night because I watch a lot of TV and I don't have time. And I catch bits and pieces here or there. But I cannot stop watching Colbert and Daily Show every single day. And it's because of stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. All right. I agree with you. Let's do our goodbyes.
So in saying goodbye, before Brandon runs down all the 8 Days of Geek blurbs, because I don't even know it because I barely pay attention, I can tell you that I'm Jason Hughes. You can find me overnights writing all kinds of crap at what is now HuffPost TV over at the Huffington Post, formerly AOL TV, formerly TV Squad. And you can follow me on Twitter. I think I'm UltraVersion21 on Twitter.
Yes, you are.
I think I'm Jason J. Hughes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, what else is there?
What's your email address they can reach you at?
Oh, isn't it Jason J. Hughes at 8? DAG or
8daysofgeek.com.
8 days, and it's an 8, a numeral 8. Jason J. Hughes at 8daysofgeek.com if you'd like to email me, and I'll read your email on right now. I will promise to read every email I get on the air because I don't expect to get a lot.
Yeah, well,
that may change.
True. We might change our mind, and if there's a lot of, you know, vulgar, we're probably not going to read it.
Well, I'll censor the hell out of it. I'll just say beep, 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 and you're an asshole.
Yeah. Of course, I don't do the whole Facebook thing as far as people going on there, but you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Brando Supreme. I'm always on there. I'm always doing stuff. That's Brando Supreme. And you can email me, Brandon at 8daysofgeek.com, and I answer emails pretty often from the other podcasts and stuff like that. And just like Jay said, we'll read. And also, if you don't want to do an email, if you're too lazy to do email, you want to send us a text, or if you want to call us and give us a voicemail message, there's a phone number you can call. You just have to basically, when you call, say, hey, this is for the guys at All the Rage TV, and I want to say that I think you guys are late and homosexual.
I think David Tennant was the best Doctor Who ever. What is wrong with you?
Exactly, yeah. If you want to complain about me hating that or me whatever, that's usually me. Or Jay not like a Ben 10 or whatever, then call 754-273-6397. That number one more time, 754-273-6397.
Calls are toll.
Yeah, toll free, you know.
Not toll free, but just toll.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't think it's toll free. I think they pay.
It's a Hollywood, California number, and I think it's like it's the Hollywood area code, and it's 273 News. I know
that you guys don't know this, but we have a seafront office here in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm looking at the beach right now.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Actually, we're in Missouri, and it is so cold.
We have ice outside our house. Yeah. We're imagining we're in California.
Yeah, that's not helping. Anyway, that's all I got to say, so thanks for tuning in.
Hey, it's been great. This has been All the Rage TV. We'll see you next week for All the Rage Movie, and every week after that with a great new podcast here on 8 Days Geek, and we'll see you all here again next month.